You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Round, round, get around, I get around, yeah, get around, round, round, I get around, I get around.
Two-thirds of the Earth is covered by water, the other third covered by Bob Nielsen, who joins us now. Nielsen Schmielsen, I think is the name of the album. Bob, first of all, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Doing well. I'm here in Bethesda, Maryland, getting ready for one of our 100 Entrepreneur classes.
All right. We haven't talked about 100 entrepreneurs in a while, so I want to do that this morning and to tell people what you're doing. And but before that, I want to talk about you and I were talking about I don't know. You feel like in even the interview I did with Barney Barnum about Wes Fox, you feel like you're pulling the curtain back, right, on like the pantheon of heroes in the Marine Corps, and you're getting to listen to eavesdrop on them. Your thoughts on that interview?
Well, I've been blessed and fortunate because I knew Barney personally and actually helped him a little bit when he retired. But when you get to see their interviews, and, you know, Wes Fox was legendary in the Marine Corps as his Barney. But then when you get to know them, they're real people. They're right. Real, honest-to-God people. And the more they talk, the more you just wonder, God, could I ever have done a hundredth of what they did? Because they were incredible. And the incredible part is they did it and kept it up, and Lord knows what they contributed to the Marine Corps in terms of the tough times after the Vietnam War. You know, they were there making the Marine Corps what it is today. So they deserve enormous, enormous credit. And the interviews you found of Wes Fox, and then, of course, having Barney come on to give his version, is just, it's unbelievable. It ought to be mandatory listening for everybody in the Marine Corps. Yeah. No, everybody in the military.
Well, you know, we don't care about the military. We just care about the Marine Corps. No, I'm just kidding. Kind of. To hear Wes Fox talk about the first 4 years that he was in the Marine Corps, he didn't own civilian clothes. You know, right? It makes
wasn't that true of Al Gray and a couple of others?
Yeah. You don't picture Wes Fox, and I'm going to use a term, and I know it's inappropriate, but it's a term that Marines use, and it's called a motard, right? And it's like the over-motivated guys who act like knuckleheads. And I had a guy who got out as a sergeant major or first sergeant, I can't remember what, and named Craig Corsi. He's up in Maine now. And he talked about he gets to his unit in Hawaii, and he reports the first day, and he's getting ready to sign out to go on Libo in Hawaii, and he's got the red jacket that says U.S. Marines down the side. He's got a Marine T-shirt on, and he's got a hat that says Marines. And the duty NCO looks at him and says, "Where are you going dressed like that?" I'm going on Liberty, Corporal. And the Corporal says, "No, you're not." And he says, "You go up your room and you change. You are not going out like that." Corporal, "I'm proud to be a Marine. I'm proud of it." Well, you don't picture Wes Fox like that, right? I mean, he's too smooth. He's too smooth. But you know, when you hear, "I didn't own civilian clothes for 4 years.
I was farming."
Yeah, in my utilities, in his herringbones, no less.
Unbelievable.
No, it's just a great interview. And the way they met Barney, tell me you didn't laugh when you heard about the hand grenade thrown at Firebase, whatever.
Yeah.
And then
Company commander up here, I'm going to chew his ass out.
Right. And then
walks the company commander, it looks like a first sergeant.
Yeah, right. John Wayne walks to the door. And you can imagine the look on Barney's face like, "Who are you?" "I'm Alpha Company CO. Your gunny said you want to talk to me?" Like, yeah, but nobody told me you were John Wayne. Who the hell are you? Like, and why are you Father Time? Why are you a first lieutenant? Right? And then you can imagine after he gets the explanation and he looks at him and he says, "What the fuck are you doing down there throwing grenades?" "Oh, well, we're fishing."
And by the way, it makes sense.
What? Yeah, we're fishing after we bathe. We don't have water like that. Like you arty bastards up here.
with your water buffalo full of water.
Yeah. So if you have not listened to that interview, it's on the website, and it's like a whole bunch of things in the archives of All Marine Radio. It's an absolute treasure.
And the wisdom that comes out applies today, applies 50 years ago, applies 75 years ago.
Right. No,
still valid.
And you know what? And what it is it's good men and good women, good human beings that have integrity and that care about people and bust their ass to do the right thing for an organization that they are absolutely positively passionate about. And so,
and remember what Barney said yesterday, and it was easy to pass over, that when he was Undersecretary of the Navy sitting in the Pentagon, he had to make a big decision. He would think back what his troops in Vietnam would think of the decision and what they would want, and he would do what was right, not what was politically correct.
Yeah,
and thank God there were leaders like that.
Well, you know, the other interesting part was both of them in the interview, I heard Colonel Fox say it, that the guy, so the way Fox's story goes is that the Lieutenant Colonel Smith, who later becomes General Smith,
is
his battalion commander. And he writes up Fox's, does his legal work, does the paperwork for his medal. Now, Fox goes to work for him at the basic school, and it gets approved by Congress. The president had it, and now Colonel Smith tells Captain Fox, he says, now when you get this award, this is the only one you wear. Well, what are you going to say to the guy who's written you up for this and is now your boss? Like, no. And so,
but you know what's funny? Right. When I was a second lieutenant at Courthouse Bay in 1963, there was a warrant officer there, W-2 or W-3, that wore one ribbon. And you know what it was?
What?
And that was, I guess, standard practice for a while.
Well, that's what they said.
Everybody was so goddamn scared of them.
He said you either wore them all, or you could wear your personal. You could wear your personal, or you could. And then Barney goes through the same thing, saying that he was wearing his personal awards.
Yeah, and he's got one.
Right. And he had one, which was his Medal of Honor. And he's getting heckled by colonels in Quantico, so he stops wearing it. And then somebody calls him on it. It might have been Colonel.
It was Walt.
Yeah, Walt calls him. Why aren't you wearing your ribbon?
Yeah.
Well, I'm getting kind of heat for wearing it. You know, I was just wearing my personal. And then Walt tells him, go ahead and wear all four of them. It's okay. and Barnum laughs. But Barney is one of those unique guys who, you know, as a first lieutenant, when he became the recipient and he becomes Walt's aide, he crosses paths with guys like Ray Davis. I was just watching a thing about the Chosen Reservoir last night. And, Bob Barrow, Ray Davis, he crosses paths with these guys as a result of becoming Walt's aide. And, you know, and had the good fortune to be in our company.
It's
and
amazing.
So Barney's his own little unique, not only a unique person in and of himself, but he's a unique piece of Marine Corps history as well.
And when you watch him, like, walk around Walter Reed, mm-hmm. he gets along with everybody in there. I went one time to go see Barney when he was at the Pentagon, had lunch with him. And he would walk down the corridors of the Pentagon, and was only the second time I'd ever been there. I would never go near that place. And people used to stand aside for Barney, but Barney knew everybody. It didn't matter what rank. And he would talk to him. How great is that?
But, you know, and he's seen, and Bob, you are very much cut from the same bolt. They're guys. They've grown up around guys, have been hanging out with guys their whole life, you know, and it's very natural for them to walk up to any group and look around and go, what are you Marines doing? And then somebody say something, and you know, you've done it your whole life, right? It's to me, hanging out is the easiest thing I ever do in my life, and I can still do it.
Well, I took what I learned there and used it in my whole career in construction, going to 40 different countries around the world building buildings, and it did me well everywhere I ever went.
All based on
same people skills.
All based on one skill, being able to hang out, and that you learn when you're like in first grade. hey, what's up? Where does that the kid or flunk? Does he know where the graham crackers are? Well, let's go find him, right?
And, you and know, we'd be doing a project in Tehran in the 70s, and we'd find out more from the goddamn keyboy about what was going on in the city than the partners we had.
Right, right. That's awesome. That's awesome. Okay, so again, if you have not listened to the Barney Barnum interview that we did yesterday, actually did on Friday and played it yesterday, listen to it. You'll enjoy it. It's awesome.
Great podcast.
Yeah, great. You know, he's a great guy, and I just tee him up, and he whacks him. And you know what? And the cool thing about it was when I asked him, he was excited to do it, and he wanted to do it, you know, so that there would be some recording of his thoughts about his friend.
Yep.
And, you know, I'll tell you the other thing that when you hear it gives you chills a little bit is, you know, Barnum's battery is firing for Fox's company as Fox fights it through that night. And, you know, they drop down and listen to his company, TACNET, you know, Fox giving orders on the company TACNET and whatnot. And just to hear that, you know, hear these two guys.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
And you know, he's got firsthand watching the whole battle go on, for crying out loud. So.
No, good stuff. First of all, for people that don't know, tell them what is the 100 Entrepreneur Project.
Well, 100 Entrepreneurs, it kind of goes back. I've been coming over to Walter Reed and Bethesda Naval Hospital for almost 16 years now, and I started raising some funds for scholarships to help kids go back to school, raised a couple of $100,000. Then I started getting jobs with Turner Construction. Turner, the company I'm retired from, we were building the amputee center at the old Walter Reed. We built the brain injury center at the new Walter Reed, and we built Fort Belvoir Hospital. And I'd get wounded vets jobs as unpaid interns while we were at the hospital, and then got about 30 or 35 jobs with our subcontractors from the Turner after they got medically discharged. But then about 10 years ago, we started doing classes initially to introduce young men and women vets to the construction industry. And through a friend of mine in Turner and his wife who's an entrepreneur, we expanded the program to talk about entrepreneurship with the veterans, kind of trying to plant a seed of an idea in their head when they were going through rehab. And we've now probably had 2,800 vets and their caregivers come through our class at Walter Reed, and we also do it down at Fort Belvoir. And we've had over 220 start businesses. And I'm sitting here right now in a restaurant in Bethesda. We got one of our speakers who's an entrepreneur with us. And this young lady will talk to him for our luncheon about careers and opportunities and starting your own business. And we try to plant a seed in the vet while they're still in the service or the caregiver. If there are opportunities out there, you're going to retire, you're going to get a medical discharge, you're going to get a pretty good pension. But there are ideas and things you can do that keep you occupied, that you enjoy, that you have a passion about, and that you'll want to do for the next 40, 50 years that you're still alive.
Bob, so you started doing this, you started doing this a long time ago. So when did you start 100 Entrepreneurs? What year?
Well, I started the classes, and we just called them the mentoring classes. I started that 9-10 years ago. And we actually incorporated as a nonprofit about 6 years ago, and we took the name 100 Entrepreneurs because the lady that helps me, Amanda Weathersby, was writing a book on 100 Entrepreneurs, and we took that name, and we would sit down with a group of kids right in the conference room at the new Bethesda Naval Hospital, Walter Reed Hospital at the old Bethesda Naval Hospital. And we'd have pizza and talk about starting a business. And, see, I had an advantage, Michael, because I'd been in Vietnam 66, 67.
Yeah.
And when I came back from Vietnam in 67, I was a Marine liaison at St. Olaf's Naval Hospital in New York City, and I was actually stationed at the barracks in Brooklyn. And so for 6 months, I was kind of trying to help the wounded in St. Olaf's Naval Hospital. So I knew I really didn't know my ass from first base, but I knew a little bit of something about how do you help vets and how do you get them, you know, thinking about things you're going to have to be dealing with when they get back to the civilian world. And that was kind of what inspired me to come over here and knock on the door 16 years ago and sneak in the back door and go up on the floor and talk to the wounded. And it really turned out, Michael, you don't talk to the wounded so much as you listen to them. Because these young kids, when they're first wounded and they get back, they're dying to tell you what they've been doing. And 9 out of 10 try to get out of bed to shake my hand, and virtually all of them want to go back into service and want to get back to their unit. Men, women, male, female, officer, enlisted, it's unbelievable.
Do you, I've got an email for you. Mac, is Bob prepared to ramp his program back up as we up numbers in Afghanistan and seem to be committed for the long term in this war on terrorism that looked to be abating but clearly is not? So have you seen, first of all, have you seen any uptick in number of people?
Yes. That interesting question. I just ran into a double amputee last Friday who lost both his legs in Afghanistan 7 weeks ago. And a young soldier who had done a tour in the Marine Corps first and then got into the Army because he wanted to go into motor transport, a great young man, and he's already got plans to start a business. But we've been getting a few wounded in. You know, everybody kind of thinks the war is over. All the civilian population thinks the wars are over. And they think all the wounded have healed up and gone home.
Right.
That's very far from true. We still get vets in for limb salvage, ones that have had wounds and injuries that don't quite heal right, and they end up getting a leg or arm taken off. We get vets in for new prosthetics. They're doing a procedure now called osteointegration where they put titanium rods right in the leg bone, and you can just slip the socket into it. So there's a lot of activity going on, and the structure, fortunately, DOD has been able to keep the amputee center, the MATC, open at Walter Reed and deal with these folks. So the infrastructure is there, and the talented people are there. You got to remember, we've had some staff working there in, 14, 15 years. It's unbelievable.
The there's an email. Hey Mac, awesome interview with Barnum, and he's right. Marines don't use umbrellas. That was.
I agree with Barney. He's in civilian clothes.
Could you imagine Fox getting on his ass? Put that away. We're Marines. We don't do that.
In the pouring rain, walking behind the the case on. Unbelievable.
It never ends, okay? It never ends. That's funny. Here's another email. Mac, I didn't really know Bob was connected to that organization. I just looked it up after hearing about it. I hear him on all the time talking about different vet issues, but because you're an average to below average host, you fail to draw this out whenever he comes on. Shame on you. My question is, I know people that certainly might be interested in this. How do I get them connected with Bob and 100 Entrepreneurs?
Easiest thing in
first
the world.
First of all, hold on. First of all, I'm above average, okay? Don't tell me I'm below average. I'm above average.
No, Michael, you're slightly above average.
Thank you very much. So let's get that shit straight right
now. Now, the gunner is way up above average.
Oh, you know what? He's on an hour a day. Anybody, look, anybody can fake it for an hour a day, you know? And the only reason, like, he's somebody is because he plays off me. So when you have somebody like that, that has that kind of, like, you know, wasa in the room, come on, it's nothing but easy.
It's like the public radio show, Frickin' Frack, the Boston guys talking about repairing autos.
There you go.
You guys are synchronized.
But see, he just comes on, he's a bit player. He comes on, he knocks out of the park, and then he leaves. Right? That's easy.
But
come on.
Seriously, Michael, all the guys got to do is go to our website, 100entproject.org, and there's 130, 140 videos on there of our classes. They're 10-minute videos, and they're highlights of people talking about starting businesses or how to do a business plan or how to get an accountant or how to be careful of lawyers. And if you also go to Facebook and go on Facebook and just do a search for 100 entrepreneurs, there's a group and a 100 entrepreneur group and a 100 entrepreneur project on Facebook. We've got the videos there. There's a lot of information that you can look at just sitting by your computer.
Okay. All right. And then, but if they are in the Northern Virginia area or someplace that they can get to your meetings, they can certainly.
All our meetings are broadcasted there. There's one in Bethesda today. There's one next week at Fort Belvoir. We have it at the Army Community Services building there. But they're all on the website, and they can go, and they're free, and you just show up and have lunch and listen and share ideas. I want to throw one other thing out at you, Mike, because yesterday I went down with a couple of American Legion people to a 100-acre facility on the Chesapeake Bay on the eastern shore called Patriots Point. And Patriots Point are doing something very similar to what Tim Maxwell has done in Southern Virginia and Travis Mills has done up in Maine, creating a retreat for wounded veterans with private funding where vets can go and do hunting and fishing, meditation, much like Boulder Crest. And you've interviewed the guy from Boulder Crest. And it's really phenomenal what they're doing. And the group with Patriots Point has some good sponsors helping this thing. Under Armour is one of them. And they're going to have facilities where vets can go with their families and kind of get back into life again. And we're trying to get these groups linked together, like Patriots Point and Semper Max's facility down in Virginia. Travis Mills, the quadruple amputee, has got one up in Maine. And Boulder Crest, because we're going to need these for the next 20, 30 years. And they fill an incredible void.
Wait a minute. Hey, the Vietnam guys are going to therapy 50 years later. Why are you going to cut us off at 30?
What do you mean?
Well, you say we're going to need these things for the next 20 or 30 years. I'm telling
you. We're going to need it because
the Vietnam guys are still going through therapy 50 years later. So why are we? Cutting,
oh yeah.
So why are you cutting hacking us off at 30 years?
Okay, 50 years.
All right. Thank you.
I got no problem.
Thank you.
But we're going to need these facilities because they fill a gap between what the DOD does and the VA does. They're privately funded and they're really well run, and they fill the needs of the vets and the caregivers. That's the important part.
You know what? And Bob has been on me, and I haven't figured it out. I'm a little bit nervous about it. But the caregiver piece of that is no small piece of it, right?
It's huge.
Yeah. First of all, nobody signs up for that. Okay.
That's exactly right.
Nobody signs up for that. And you're not a caregiver for a couple of years. You know, in some cases, you're a caregiver for life.
24/7 the rest of your life.
Right. And
start there.
Yeah. And yeah.
The truth is, Mac, for the first part of this war, people weren't paying attention to the caregivers. And you can't believe what they go through. I mean, all you got to do is look to Shannon Maxwell or Patty Horan or some of them. And what these people go through.
Well,
it's unbelievable. Now, the VA has got a new program to begin to look into what their caregiver programs are, how well they're working. And in fact, Ellen Dunford, the wife of the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, is on an advisory board overseeing this. But I've heard lots of vets complain with frustration about the caregiver programs in the VA, and I think we're going to see some improvements with that.
But well,
it's
let me
something that everybody has underestimated.
Well, let me just tell you, the Elizabeth Dole Foundation and the work that she's done. I mean, and again, Elizabeth Dole, a caregiver for life. I mean, Bob Dole, you know, for years.
Exactly, right.
Bob Dole's disabled. Yeah.
Badly wounded arm.
Right, but you didn't know that certainly until later on in his life, when I think those of us who were, you know, stupid, began paying attention to it.
And the Elizabeth Dole Foundation is working on this, along with Ellen Dunford and the VA.
Right. And again, it's a huge piece that can't go unserviced in all of this because, you know, that if you want to look at a screwed up industry, look at the long-term care business and the amount of turbulence they have because of people that will come in, get a taste of it, and say, I'm out of here. And then what they have to do to keep employees, it's not a very good situation.
Oh, it's tough. And look at what's happened to psychiatric care.
Right.
You don't even have psychiatric hospitals to speak of anymore.
No, they're all homeless.
And we got tons of vets with traumatic brain injury and tons with the traumatic brain injury from IEDs. And I'm not even talking about post-traumatic growth.
Right. Yeah, you.
So there's huge needs.
You're not going to get the post-traumatic growth.
That's why you're going to see 100 entrepreneurs in one shape or form hang around for a long time, and I've already got vets and their caregivers involved in 100 entrepreneurs to take it over, to continue to run it. And we do need funding. We do need donations. We're small, we're very, very small scale, and we operate on a very limited budget, but thankfully we've been able to get Wounded Warriors to support us and Turner Construction to support us. And for a while, we had the Bob Woodruff Foundation supporting us. But,
Hey, can I ask you a question about Woodruff? Is he Philip Brown now? Does he still struggle? Is he? I've seen him back on TV on occasion, but not.
When you see him on TV, he really comes across fantastic. When you talk to him one-on-one, he'd be the first to admit to you he has short-term memory problems.
Okay.
Because he had really severe traumatic brain injury, and he made an amazing recovery. And, in fact, he was at the Naval Hospital in Walter Reed, the Naval Hospital in Bethesda, for a big chunk of his recovery. But he'll tell you firsthand, he's still got effects of it. When you see him on TV, you'd never believe it.
Right, no. No, you can fake it. Like the gunner does, you can take it for short periods of time.
And his wife has been phenomenal, a phenomenal advocate for the caregivers and all of those kinds of issues, all the problems they're dealing with.
Okay, first of all, tell everybody how they find 100 Entrepreneurs again.
Go on Facebook and just search for 100 Entrepreneurs. We've got a group there, and we've got a program there. Both have essentially the same data, or go to 100entproject.org. That's our website, and look at the videos.
All right.
I just have to make one more comment.
Go ahead.
I really think, Michael, you are a 5-star interviewer, not a 3-star. I had to throw that out.
Hey, that was the right thing to say if you want to be invited back, but I'm not sure that it's true. It's not very hard when you have people like the kind of people that come on Almery Radio. Hell, even the guy yesterday,
he was great. The intelligence guy that ended up with Precon.
Craig and Fred, that whole story. I mean, here's somebody, I get an email. Hey, do you want to interview a Marine that's written a book? Yeah, sure. And then you start peeling it back and like, holy shit, I remember that. Oh yeah. And they went up could you define for everybody the term schwacked? Yes. That means you got the shit hammered out of you. But
like I told you, Mike, you really realize
that
everybody's experience is different.
Well, you know what?
You were there in the same outfit 3 months apart. It's a totally different experience.
Well, totally different. But you know what? I've really learned that from Vietnam. I'm learning it about Korea, what year you were in Korea, you had a different part in 50, you were going south and then you went north. If you're there in 51, you're part of the Hill battles and that was a different war. But the other part is the coming home part, and we didn't even get to that yesterday about coming home and then trying to readjust. And, and pets are huge.
Ask Barney about the great reception you got.
Barney, again, if you remember, one of the few Marines that was not presented the Medal of Honor by the President of the United States.
Yeah, they did it at Marine Barracks.
Yeah, because it's too politically sensitive, and it wasn't a real good time for it. I know you.
Or West Fox, the president waited till there were seven of them, and they wouldn't let some of the family members come.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting to hear him talk about that, how disappointed he was that guys from his company weren't allowed to come, spouses of his siblings were not allowed to come, and the excuse they got was the president wanted to make it a small group event.
Right. Didn't want a political hot potato out there.
I'm not a crook. Yeah, you are. Thou protestest too much. All right, sir, thank you very much. Good luck today.
Okay, I'm going to have to run. Good luck, and keep doing a good job. I'm so glad these stories are finally getting out.
No, it's great. Thanks, Bob. Have a good
one. Take care. Semper Fi.
Semper Fidelis. That is the one and only Robert Nielsen here on All Marine Radio. And he is a great guy. Absolutely, positively great guy. And a huge part of All Marine Radio. We're going to take a break. Gil Barndollar, captain, former type, United States Marine Corps, is going to join us. We've been talking about, and I may not have a chance to get to a couple things today, so forgive me. We'll get to him tomorrow, though. I want to talk about the FBI, because I've heard some things that about the FBI. I've been watching it, and I don't understand. I don't understand the different standards that the FBI uses and how they let stuff go. I don't understand how the FBI blows off Congress. So I'm trying to make heads or tails of that, and I've got a couple audio clips. The other thing I didn't understand was the gloom and doom of, you know, why would anybody, first of all, be against the America's wild lands and our great natural resources and yada, yada, yada. And what is all this discussion about, you know, in Utah? And then you listen to people from Utah and what they have to say. The lands are still protected. The issues are rancher rights, grazing rights, road access rights, hunting rights, right? All those things that citizens of Utah desire. And then so you peel it back a little bit and you're like, really? That's where we're at? This kind of stupid nonsense? So anyway, we may not get there today. We may have to do that tomorrow. But I've got some audio. And again, the FBI, you know, it's like there's too many data points that are lining up that show them as a political organization, in my opinion. And I've never thought that about the FBI, but I'm thinking it now. And so there was some audio that I wanted to play from Tucker Carlson last night, but I'm probably not going to get there. We're going to take a quick break. Gil Barndollar is going to join us. He, Captain United States Marine Corps, and we're going to talk about the special ops community, how it's drained a lot of the NCO and staff NCO talent from the infantry community. Has that stopped? Does it continue? What has been the long-term impact? And is some of the impact that we've seen in terms of hazing and other bullshit behaviors, is it because our better NCOs, staff NCOs, now go someplace else? Now, the Army has said that for years as an excuse. Marine Corps, we can't abide by that. Anyway, we'll take a quick break. My thanks to Bob Nielsen for coming on. Gil Barndollar joins us next on a Tuesday edition of All Marine Radio, right here on the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nelson. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Yeah, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when the group can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com. And I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.